This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Okay, two words here. Regional theater. Two more words. Budget deficit. According to a report from the Theater Communications Group, which is, to be clear, an advocacy group for nonprofit theater, more than half of them said they are going to have a budget deficit next year. Nearly a third described themselves as either struggling to make ends meet or worse. So, up the Pasadena Freeway, I went the other day. Pasadena Playhouse, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm Kai. Nice to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Welcome.
Pay no attention to Jake. He's got the microphones. You get to hold your own.
Amazing. I'll try not to trip on it.
Right? Wires in this day and age. Tell me who you are and where we are.
My name is Danny Feldman. I'm the producing artistic director of Pasadena Playhouse, the State Theater of California. And we are standing in the beautiful historic courtyard of our building.
Full disclosure, I should tell you, I come here not all the time, but not infrequently. And it's great.
Thank you.
I love this place. So there's my bias going in. But this is not about this place as a physical place. It's about regional theater.
Yes.
And where you guys stand in the world. So before we go inside, situate us in the world of regional theater.
Yeah.
Here we are in late 2023.
So what most folks who just go to the theater, like live entertainment or that, they don't necessarily know, nor should they, the difference between commercial theater and regional theater, right? So we mainly think of theater as Broadway, Hamilton.
Sorry, interesting you say commercial as yes. if it's like a bad thing and regional.
No, it's not bad.
Right.
It's for-profit versus
right.
nonprofit. It is New York Times for-profit journalism, mm-hmm. NPR public service journalism,
there
right? Are we serving shareholders? Are we trying? Is our ultimate goal making money or is our ultimate goal public service? The nonprofit regional theater was born out of a response to commercialism, out of a response to Broadway.
I should know this. How long has regional theater been a thing?
Well, it's tricky because Pasadena Playhouse is so old. It's like,
right.
a terrible joke set up. But we are so old that theaters and entertainment and were not allowed to be nonprofits.
Oh, that's funny.
That was not put into the nonprofit code, right? It was charities. It wasn't allowed till much later. Pasadena Playhouse came in the 20s, or really founded in 1917. This building came in the 20s.
Right.
But it was founded by a group of Midwesterners who were out here who said great communities need great culture. There was not a lot of regional theater. There was tours that would sort of come by, but think this was Orange Groves in 1917,
right? Literally.
Yeah, it was a new city by then. And so it was really an innovative and revolutionary thing that happened here that later would start happening all over the country. And the idea behind the regional theater movement later on in the 60s was that individual communities deserved world-class theater, just like Broadway was getting it. And so it really started as a reaction to theater artists going back to either their hometowns or going to new towns and saying, let's set up shop here. So it was a very hyper-local movement about making great art for communities. And that changed over time, but that was really the genesis and the birth of it.
Let's go inside. And as we go, here's the standard opening question. How's business?
You know, we're an outlier.
Yeah. Well, we're
our business is going well, and we are very unique because.
So wait, I need you to describe this lobby for me because it's great, and people should understand what we're looking at.
We are in the lobby right? That was opened in 1925. The very special thing in our lobby right now that you can see is our regional Tony Award that we just got.
Congratulations!
We conveniently placed that.
I was going to say it's literally spotlit, but you know,
yes. But it's on purpose because we feel that you know, going to our subject matter, this is this theater and this community's Tony Award. And so we've put it right here so people basically trip on it getting into the theater.
Yeah. Almost literally.
But we are in the historic lobby that every patron passes through to come see a show and have since 1925.
And it's fabulous. So you were saying you're doing better than most.
We are. And we, you know, I took over this theater in late 2016, and we were having a rough go, I will say.
Yeah.
Not as rough as anyone probably knew publicly, not as rough, frankly, as I knew coming into it.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, those of us who come here knew that it was tricky.
It was tricky, and it had been tricky for a while.
Yeah.
Our ticket sales were struggling, our donations were struggling. So for us, our story, and I think that's part of why now we're at a different place, is we worked very hard digging out and getting community engagement again about this place. So by the time pandemic hit, we were coming into it in a different spot.
Well, so that's a good pause as yeah. we head into the house here, because I want to sit down. So you're doing okay-ish as the pandemic hits, and then the pandemic hits. And what happens?
So it was brutal to the theater industry, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
We have people who, you know, a lot of people cut their workforce. We cut our workforce tremendously. Some theaters as much as 80%. We weren't quite that high. And I think the bigger challenge, though, looking back now, was as everyone was racing to get the economy going again, to get business going, people didn't want to go to the theater. This was not a thing, even with wearing masks. And we still have not recovered. Nationally, we are still, the latest figures are between 20 to 50% of pre-pandemic.
Really?
Yes. It is. Every theater's on a different journey on that, but some theaters have closed, right? There was a time last year where 2 to 3 theaters were closing a month.
How do you stay in business if you're at 20, 50%?
Correct. Well, a lot of what got us through it was the extraordinary government support,
yep.
the largest yep. government support of the arts in U.S. history, the Shuttered Venues Grant. Yep. We were fortunate here at the Playhouse to get a couple very large grants, which were designed to help us get back on your feet. Our argument to the funding community, to our community, and to the government was, it is going to take us longer to get back than everyone else. We are going to have to rethink business models. We already were dealing with some real struggles.
Tell me how you have rethought your business model.
Well, for us here, it's about a couple different directions. We ended the pandemic year like a lot of businesses did, like a lot of theaters did, with surpluses.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right,
if you think
right.
about it, you stopped.
And a lot of families too, actually,
yes,
with surpluses.
You stopped
right.
putting shows on,
right.
but the money
right.
was still coming.
Right.
A lot
right.
of our patrons who were been with us for years said, we'll let you keep our subscription money, right? Mm-hmm. We'll let you mm-hmm. keep this. We'll still writing our checks. So our costs dramatically dropped and our revenue actually went up.
Right.
We made the decision that rather than storing all of that in the bank, we were going to take a chunk of it, of our saved up capital, something that this theater has never had,
right.
ever in our history. We passed a budget last season, which was the big season of our Sondheim celebration, our Tony winning season, all of that, that had $1 million deficit in the budget.
Wow.
Because we had a $3 million surplus the year before.
Yeah.
We hired more artists than we've ever hired that year. We hired more musicians. We hired more crew. It was the most ambitious thing we'd ever done.
So I came to see Sunday in the Park with George.
Yes.
Here. I still don't understand the second act of that thing. I don't
that's
understand
for a whole
the second act for life of me, right?
I can explain it to you.
The first act I was on board, and then the second act comes, and you're like, what?
Well,
why are we doing this?
Well, would you want to talk about it? We don't
look,
need to talk about
it. It's our show.
Out.
We can do
Cut
whatever we want.
It's you know, I think when the show opened, everyone felt that way too. You know, Act One is about a genius who all he can see is his art at the
yeah.
cost of everything
yeah.
else in his
yeah.
life. Act Two is a guy that I relate to sometimes, that all his art has sort of lost its way in many ways. But he is very good at the thing Act One, his you know, great-grandfather was not great
yeah.
at, which was schmoozing, socializing, raising money.
Yeah.
It's a great analogy to what we're talking
it
about.
It is indeed.
Because for him to get his art done, it wasn't just about sitting in a room and making art. It was 95% about raising money.
Another, yeah. All
and
right.
figuring it out. And so he's reconciling that. He's having a crisis of faith, and he's inspired. And maybe the answer is a little bit of both. That's my life every day now.
Fair enough. I appreciate the lesson. I still don't know if I understand the second act. You're an artistic guy, right?
I'm unique and I'm both.
That's
yeah.
where I'm going, right?
Yeah.
You're a programming artistic guy.
Yes.
But clearly now you have to have a business sensibility and experience. And I would explain that dichotomy.
So how most regional theaters were born, they were artistic driven. They would pass the hat around the community. People would put the money in. That was the budget.
Right.
That's how it worked,
right?
Well, everyone started realizing that this is a subsidy model. And then they started to be thinking of themselves as businesses in different ways. There was a great study done now years ago. It was a foundational study for the American theater. And it basically looked at theater business at cost per unit, right?
Mm-hmm.
CPU. And the idea was the CPU for theater is one performance, right?
Okay, yeah.
One show.
Yep.
Okay, think about this. What do we have to do to make the show? We're sitting in a theater. There's some Christmas stuff going on. It's a whole other thing. But we have a production of it.
I was just going to say, what's the show running now?
Right now, the show that's running, there's a funny image we're both looking at on the stage because it's two things mixed together.
Oh, all right.
But we are doing a new take on Inherit the Wind.
Got it.
A revitalized take on Inherit the Wind. Alfred Molina,
yeah.
John Douglas
yeah.
Thompson. It's
yeah.
extraordinary, whole fresh new take on it. Very relevant today. One of our top box office hits we've had in decades here. Doing very well. It's
how much of that is Alfred Molina and how much of that is your programming decision?
Who the hell knows? How do I know that? I don't know. I mean, I'll take some
marketing. Part of it works, part of it doesn't.
Exactly. Right. It's all of it. It's everything
That's
together.
Fair. Okay.
So that show, to make this show here, we had to all get in a rehearsal room and it took about 4 weeks. And then they do the show. We're paying those people to do the show. Then you have the cost of getting butts in seats. We now have to pay marketing that we didn't have to pay in the 60s as much, or in the 50s, 40s, 30s. So the study basically said the CPU for one night of theater is going to double every 10 years. Yeah. And that's to infinity.
Right.
That's not going anywhere away.
So I will not be the first person to point out to you that that's not sustainable.
Correct. And I think the moment we're feeling in the American theater right now is there's periods of time where that catches up with you.
Mm-hmm. Where you this can, place has had it several times.
Correct. And that is this incredible moment. Some people call it crisis. I'm optimistic, so I called it the opportunity. Uh-huh. This is our moment to rethink what we're doing.
So you're the boss, man. You're in charge.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Well,
it's your job to take this theater company and this place into, you know, the 2030s and beyond.
That's right. And so this is about, number one, communicating to everyone, we are a subsidy model, right? Everyone thinks theater, you think—
And we have to be okay with that.
Yes.
Okay.
Because of our public service. We're mm-hmm. in a world now, don't get me started on this, but we're in a world now where politically, it's people can't sit in the same room together and talk. We literally bring strangers together in a room to play make-believe with one another. It's ridiculous if you think about it. We're all going to collectively say we're going to watch something and play pretend to one another and have a shared experience. But I will go back to the commercial theater and the Hamilton conversation. Hamilton started in a nonprofit theater, right? The research and development that other businesses have, we are the research and development. Shows start in nonprofit theaters all the time, but more importantly, artists work here. There's not a single artist that is on Broadway today that is a star that people know, a set designer, line designer, director, that has not worked in the nonprofit regional theater. Those people who are on Broadway are also doing film and TV. They're same writers, right? It's one pool. We are the engine to that. And so why so many of us are ringing the alarm bell of the crisis of our field is we're going to see this downstream. And we cannot stop producing shows, which is already you know, takes a lot out of you while re-envisioning a future model for something that, I got a music degree. What do I know about economics? We're figuring it out. We're a scrappy bunch of people who are going to figure this out.
Danny Feldman, thanks a lot.
Thank you.